Welcome to another vital message from Pastor Ron Hemmons, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
If you have been walking, even with Jesus for very long, you know that at times we can experience our hope being deferred, being put off. The things that we hoped, the things that we wanted, the things that we believed, the things that we trusted, the things that we, you know, all of a sudden we can imagine that those things are no longer going to happen. Hope deferred. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is hope deferred and hope restored. You know, King Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and many people imagine that God, whenever he told King Solomon that he was going to make him the wisest man ever, many people imagine that God just dropped this bucket load of wisdom into Solomon's brain, and Solomon just, boom, magically became wise. But that's not what happened. Do you know Solomon even talks about how he observed life? I believe what God did is that he gave Solomon an anointing, as he has anointed some of you. But he gave Solomon an extreme anointing, an extreme gift, more gifted than anyone else would ever be, to observe truth in the lives of other people and in nature and from other things that he saw. And so Solomon, while observing things, he drew truth from them. He drew wisdom from them. And he wrote a book, and we have it as the book of Proverbs. And I encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. Not only do I read it, but so many people read it at least one chapter each day, or, you know, finding one verse in the book of Proverbs and allow that wisdom to soak into you, rehearse it through the day, meditate upon it, because it will help you to make decisions. It will give you direction. It will guide you. It will lead you. It will help you to stand on solid ground with confidence whenever you're having to make a difficult decision, to know that you are making that decision based upon the wisdom that God has given. In fact, if you want to, you could go to our website, COTR, Church on the Rock, COTR.com. And if you just would look on, I think it's on our front page, but it's definitely in our resources, you will find Proverbs of the Day. I've been encouraging, our congregation here for 36 Aprils. You know, this is my 36th April, to encourage you to read Proverbs. And there's a Proverbs of the Day there. And then there's also a recording where I have recorded Proverbs, and I go through reading Proverbs and pick out a verse and show you how to meditate on one verse each day so that you can glean wisdom just like Solomon did. And these nuggets of truth, as I said, will give you direction in life. It will give you direction in business. It will give you direction personally, and also a business-wise. Let me just encourage you to take the word of God, because when things happen in my life, most often the voice I hear in my ear, is there a voice in your head? There's a voice in my head. The voice that I hear is the voice with which I read the book of Proverbs. I'm not even sure what voice it is, but I can hear it speaking back to me. And most often, when I need direction, when I need a decision, when I need guidance, when I need confidence, when I need help, encouragement, peace, joy, I find that voice speaking to me a word from Proverbs, because I have read it so consistently for so many years that it's become very familiar to me. And God says he will bring those things to remembrance, whatever he has spoken to you. And so I encourage you to do that. And this evening, I want to share a verse as from Proverbs that spoke to me whenever I was considering this week what to share tonight. And God dropped something in my heart, then I ask him to confirm it. How can you confirm this, God? And you know that voice gave me a word from Proverbs. Boom. And it came upon me. So it's upon this word from Proverbs that we are going to build and launch off of this particular principle and this truth, this bit of wisdom, this nugget. We're going to launch off of that to talk tonight about hope deferred and hope restored. The scripture in Proverbs I'm talking about is Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. In the New King James Version, it simply says this: hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, you've probably experienced that. You have probably had some moment in your life when you felt like what you had hoped in, what you had trusted in, what you had believed in, what you wanted, what you felt like would happen, should happen, didn't. And you're just drained of all energy, and it's deferred, and it literally can make your heart sick. God understands that. It's true. It's the truth. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Whenever you accomplish something, whenever your desire comes to pass, whenever you achieve something, when you are successful in some arena, when you reach a goal, then it gives you energy, it gives you life whenever you see what you have believed for coming to pass. You know, you reach a mark, you pass a goal, you achieve something, then boom, you know, I feel better. You know, it's a tree of life. It gives you energy. That's one of the reasons why I encourage people to set realistic goals in life. In fact, if you will set some goals, even daily goals, you know, when you achieve those daily goals, it will give you life. It will give you energy. It's like having a cup of coffee at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. All of a sudden, you feel the fruit of the tree of life on the inside of you because you've accomplished something. So make sure you set realistic goals, because if you do set unrealistic goals, then you will enter into hope deferred, and you will live some sad moments that you would not have had to have lived if you had realized what you were capable of and what you would really do. That's one of the reasons why along about this time of year people start getting disenchanted with their New Year's resolutions, because they set some goals that they just realize they're not going to keep. You know, it's not going to happen again. So let me encourage you. I have an Apple Watch that I wear some days, and it counts your steps. You know, one of the things I did with the first Apple Watch I got is I set my steps at 70. Now, don't think for a moment that I'm kidding. I am not. I loved that little bell going off saying boom. You know, you have reached your goal for the day. You know, I mean, you know, it's normally in the morning about the time I'm brushing my teeth. But it was, I don't know. I certainly didn't want to set that 10,000 thing because I made that mistake, you know. And then I was watching my watch and walking circles around my bedroom before I could get in bed. Either that or else I got in bed sad. Okay. Now, somewhere between 70 and 10,000 might be a realistic goal for you, okay? But let me encourage you to realize that hope deferred does make the heart sick. But when a desire comes, it is a tree of life. If you've ever placed your hope in something or someone only to be disappointed when it didn't work, when it didn't turn out the way you expected, if you've ever done that, then you know a little bit about how these two characters that we're going to read about in the Bible, how they must have felt. We're going to be going in just a moment to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at a couple of men who were in hope deferred. Their desire, their dream, what they expected just didn't happen the way they expected. You know, dreams can suddenly be drained of all hope. You know, sometimes it's because of something that we did, and sometimes it's nothing that we did. Sometimes doors just close and our expectations seem to be thwarted, and it leaves us feeling weak and empty. It's like waking up only to realize that the nightmare was real and you can't go back to sleep now and get out of the moment. That's the way these men felt. Hope deferred had made their hearts sick. And just like Proverbs 18 also says, that a wounded spirit who can bear? When our spirit is wounded. And there are some things in life that will wound our spirit, and it's almost unbearable. That's how they felt. You know, this past Sunday we celebrated Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we celebrated that resurrection and we looked at a familiar passage in our Bible, we realized that, you know, the resurrected Jesus, he certainly brought hope. But prior to people seeing him, they were very disappointed. The people who had been following him, all of a sudden, when he was crucified, they were left in hope deferred. Have you found Luke 24? Let's begin reading about these two men who were followers of Jesus. We'll begin in verse 13. Luke 24, the New King James Version, verse 13. The Bible says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem." Now, what two people is it talking about? It's talking about two of the followers of Christ. These were not, as we understand, these were not the from the 12/11 disciples that were left. You know, even though one of them, some people imagine one of the guys was Peter, you know, we cannot know who one of them was, but we do know who the other one was, and the other one was named Cleopas. And, you know, scholars are even divided about who he was. Perhaps he was an uncle of Jesus. You know, John 19, verse 25, indicates that he might have been one of the uncles of Jesus, or he may have just been married to a woman named Mary who followed Jesus around, who was the mother of James the Lesser. Or there was also a Cleopas who was the father of Matthew the tax collector. But at any rate, it was someone who followed Jesus during Jesus' earthly life and ministry, had followed him around, had evidently went to Jerusalem for the Passover, had experienced the crucifixion, and was so saddened by the crucifixion that he and one of his friends who were followers of Christ, who were believers that Jesus had, you know, had believed that Jesus was Messiah. He was now struggling with that belief. He was now wrestling with what he had imagined was true for perhaps the last 2 or 3 years. He was a follower of Jesus and helped Jesus. And verse 14, "And these two men, Cleopas and whoever the other guy was, they talked together of these things," of the crucifixion is what they're talking about, the arrest, the trial, the scourging, and the crucifixion, okay? They did not yet know Jesus was resurrected. So they are, you know, wrestling and struggling here as they talked about all the things that had happened in Jerusalem. And so it was in verse 15 that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, this was on the Sunday that Jesus had been resurrected. He showed up. He drew near to them. He caught up with them, you know, maybe coming in from a side road or a side trail, and all of a sudden, three of them are walking along together. Jesus, by the way, is always close to those who have a broken heart. Jesus is always close to those who are close to him. The Bible says that Jesus is easily touched with our feelings and our infirmities and our hurts and our pains. The Bible says, "A broken and a contrite heart the Lord will not despise." So Jesus is always close to those who are wrestling and struggling with their faith, who are wrestling and struggling with their hope, who are needing him, who are brokenhearted, who are disappointed. Jesus is always close. He draws near. What a great picture of the resurrected Christ, who one of the first things we have recorded of him is he drew near to people who had a broken heart. He came close to them. Verse 16, "But their eyes were restrained," were holden, the King James Version says, were restrained. It literally means that there was like an unconsciousness on their eyes. We don't know for sure whether Jesus caused this, or perhaps they were just so sad and looking down and not aware and not expecting. I mean, how many people are not expecting Jesus to draw near to them in their sadness, in their brokenheartedness? They may not recognize it is Jesus. You know, they may not even recognize a stranger. The Bible says that we entertain angels unaware. We may not even recognize that it's a messenger from God that is trying to console and comfort and direct us and help us and speak to us and encourage us. We often don't recognize the encouragement that is sent from heaven our way, that God continues. Have you ever been sent by God to encourage someone who could not be consoled at that moment, who could not make sense of it, who perhaps even like their ears were closed, they could not even hear your encouraging words or could not feel your heartfelt compassion for their moment and their sympathy or even your concern? Well, for whatever reason, their eyes were restrained in that they did not know Him. They did not recognize it was Jesus. They just didn't. Verse 17, and Jesus said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" You know, evidently you could tell they were sad, and their conversation was a sad conversation, and their countenance evidently was showing their sadness. And so Jesus just questions, what are y'all talking about that's making you so sad as you walk along? Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Jesus, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" I mean, where have you been, buddy? You know, are you the only person around that doesn't know what's going on? Verse 19, he said to them, "What things?" I love the fact that Jesus, you know, questions people. He already knows, but, you know, what things? There evidently is some benefit to us pouring our souls out, pouring out our minds, our consciousness. It's not just cathartic. There is something spiritual about us dredging our hearts and dredging our consciousness and opening up ourselves before the Lord. And here they are before the living God, and he's asking them, dig a little deeper, go a little farther, go ahead, you know, get this out. And what things? So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people." You know, they still believe, you know, he was a prophet, mighty in word indeed. "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and be crucified. But we were hoping," here's where the hope comes in, we were hoping. Do you hear that? We were hoping. He's a prophet. He was mighty in word, mighty in deed, but he's dead. "And we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." You know, but now we don't anymore. That's the implication. We were hoping. "Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened." You know, in the culture, after 3 days of anything, it was over. It was over. It was gone. It was done. Okay? Get over it. You know, get on down the road. We were hoping. That is how they saw it. But that's not how it really was. That's not how God saw it. I mean, ultimately, we are still in the nasty now and now. But that's not the way God sees it. God sees things from a much different perspective than we do. You know, and here they were hoping that all of Israel's problems would be gone. Well, they still aren't today in that sense. But in God's sense, they have been paid for. Israel has been redeemed. The blood of Jesus has paid for the sins of all mankind. And it is finished. It was finished on the cross of Calvary. And the resurrection was proof positive and the seal that God has done it. We are still in the place that Jesus is calling people to his kingdom, inviting them to come to this blessed eternity that he has already paid for. Come, come all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So many people get disappointed when they imagine their dream is dead, their hope is gone, and what they believe will never come to pass. That's just not the truth. It's just not the truth. If the dream in your heart is touched by the heart of God, it will never die. If what you have believed is what God has said, then what you have believed will never die. Though situations and circumstances and temporary interruptions may come our way, there is forever settled in heaven the promise of God upon us that yet yearns in our heart for those things which we once believed, that we cannot be denied because the blood of Christ has paid for the dream that God has given you. That's what David declared. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Despite the disappointments, the crop failures, the curves, and the conditions of the road, God will not let his dream for you die. The dream he has put in your heart, the desires of your heart, he will watch over. He will bring to pass. Listen, if the death of Jesus cannot stop the plan of God, neither can yours or anybody else's. Cannot stop the dream in your heart. It cannot stop the promise of God. It cannot end the yearnings of your soul. God has a future for us, a plan for us. Don't allow your faith to stand or fall on circumstances. Put your faith in God. So they continued, you know, it's been the third day since these things happened. Verse 22. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb. We're talking about Peter and John, and the women went back and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Do you know that some people will give you a good report and other people will give you a report that is not so good? You know, ask 10 of your friends. Well, ask 12 of your friends. Two of them might have a good report and 10 of them might not. Okay? And they're all looking at the same thing. Whose report will you believe? Some people said he's alive and some people said, well, we didn't see him. Come on now. Some of them were astonished and said, oh, he's alive. And the other one saying, nope, we went and looked and we didn't see him. I mean, you're going to constantly have this in your life with situations and circumstances that you face, that when you go to your friends, some of them are going to say yes and some are going to say no. Some of them are going to say it's going to get better and some of them are going to say it's going to get worse. Some of them are going to tell you, hey, look, you know, you trust God. The other one's going to say you were wrong. You're going to have these competing conscious thoughts bombard you at some point in life, and you're going to be tempted like they were to believe that what you have believed is no longer worth believing. Ain't going to happen. Whose report will you believe? You know, hope, the Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter, hope that is seen is not hope. For if you see it, why do you yet hope for it? You know, if we hope for what we do not see, the Bible says, if we hope, if we can hold on to hope for what we do not see, Romans 8 says in verse 25, that we will eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We will refuse to be none. If we will hope for things we do not see, if the hope of Christ is in us and what he has said rings true in our heart, if we will hold on to hope, then we will eagerly await those things which we do not yet see, and we will hold on to hope with perseverance. Because our hope is not in circumstances. Our hope is in God. this is the moment in this particular account where Jesus steps in. He steps up, where Jesus takes charge. There is a moment in our confusion. There is a moment in our consideration. There is a moment in our brokenness. There is a moment in our hope deferred. There is a moment in our sickness. There is a moment in our pain. There is a moment when Jesus has been with us along the way. There is a moment when he steps up and speaks up and takes charge and begins to challenge us and begins to help us in a way that we understand that we will, when he is finished, see things in a different light, in a different way. We'll feel different about it. When we were walking with our heads down and sad, we'll be running with our heads up and glad. There is that moment. Wait for it. This is an account that shows us the process by which God is bringing us to a hope, to a restoration, to a rekindling, regaining of our faith and trust and hope in what we had once believed. So if you're in a hopeless moment, if you're in a moment of difficulty, if you're in a trying moment, if you're in the moment when you're pouring your heart out to God, if you're in a moment when you don't even know, you think you don't even have anything else to say, but yet there's still something, if you're in a moment when you're yearning for something that you believed and are now disappointed and circumstances seems to cover your dream like a grave. Hold on. Okay? Hold on. Jesus will speak. He will.
Thanks again for joining us for another relevant word from Pastor Ron Hemmons. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.